Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 65, and it's a Monday, September 25th, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome to the show, guys. It is a show where we talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news. Well, before we go on, we would like to say that we are checking in safe. We are all safe from what, Ray?
Well, the rapture didn't happen
because
I'm still here.
That's right.
The rapture happened, I'd been gone.
The rapture happened, but with nothing
else. So I don't think anything actually happened because I'm still here.
He really, that guy, that numerologist, missed it again.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times?
I'm sure his math was off a little bit.
It's always bad. So yeah, last weekend was, last Saturday or last Sunday? 24th, right?
It was Saturday.
Yeah, there's supposed to be the rapture because something aligned, and according to the numbers in the Book of Revelation, that it's going to be happening on this date. And apparently, he's wrong as usual. Nobody knows. I don't even know if that's gonna happen. They've been saying that for many, many centuries, I guess.
Yeah,
I
let's hope.
And also, since we skipped last week because we did tell you guys. There was a tragedy that a couple of weeks ago that I had to attend a funeral in Denver. It's a friend of ours, John. So anyway, so we did skip last week's show because we got too busy. Also, Ray also got busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I had a software release. It was a nightmare.
Yeah. Okay. So before we go on, we missed greeting our friend Caesar. Happy belated birthday. He's our contributor on the Gay Geek Bizarre Facebook page. He's the one who, whenever we talk about stories here, aside from Ray also posts stories there too. And Caesar also started this, you know, Caesar.
But Caesar snopes checks his before he posts them, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. He snopes.
It's a big difference.
Uh-huh. So yeah, Caesar's been very good contributor for a long, long time now, even when we were doing Bear Podcast before. So thank you, Caesar. And
happy 29.
Yeah, 29th birthday. God, it's so young. Anyway,
such a baby.
All right, let's go to our stories. Well, before our stories, we have weekend updates. I was busy. I saw your picture. Oh, guys, you should see Ray really stunning last weekend. He was wearing a suit. Oh my God! So, what's the occasion, Ray?
I went to my first Mexican wedding.
Uh huh. So, how was that?
I was the only gringo there. Only gringo there.
So. You're the only English speaker.
And everything was pretty much, everybody talked in Spanish, and I just sat there and smiled. And,
That's when, because, Ray, you need to
there's
crash
nothing course. Bi about me, lingual or otherwise. So. Uh-huh.
You should really do a crash course or something.
I'm hoping somebody will buy me Rosetta Stone Spanish for Christmas or something, you know.
Right. So what you can do, Ray, is start learning Spanish songs and then sing along. And then you listen to that and then you read the lyrics and then you learn how to speak that.
Well,
sentence.
I heard a lot of Spanish music on Saturday night. I heard Achy Breaky Heart. The only song I recognized was Achy Breaky Heart in Spanish. But they were singing it in Spanish and I was like, English, so we all get along.
Oh, okay. Know? Good for you.
So I went and saw a good movie with Julio called Beach Rats.
Oh, how was that?
It was pretty good. It's about this young guy whose father's dying of cancer. You know, he's 18. He doesn't know what he wants to do. You know, it's just his life's kind of a mess. But apparently in Brooklyn, these kids just get to hang out and not work or have jobs or do anything for the summer. So they go hang out at the beach or Coney Island Pier or whatever and stuff. And mm-hmm. So him and his friends are always there trying to, like, they were like, pickpocketing people for money to buy drugs or beer or cigarettes, whatever. And he was trying to figure out if he was gay or not. And the kid gets on a chat site and starts talking to these guys. And one of them convinces him to come meet him. And they go meet out at pull off the side of the freeway.
They walked
apart. And yeah, and the guy just like bent him over, ripped his pants down and started fucking him bareback. And all this kind of stuff. So
it was interesting.
And I thought it was going to end differently than it did, but it kind of left you hanging. So
did they become lovers?
No.
Is it a French movie?
No, he kept hooking up with different guys and stuff.
Oh.
And then he tried to come out to his friends somewhat and it just kind of went crazy. So, but it's an interesting movie. If you get a chance to see it, I think it's playing here this week in Houston. So if you can go see it, go watch Beach Rats.
Okay. Maybe put it somewhere as Plex. last weekend I was in New Orleans just for a couple of days. I drove in and it was just really just a weekend with Mike. And we just ate at restaurants there. We ate at St. Rock's Market. Have you been there before? The one with the is like a high-end food court.
Yeah, I've been there several times. Yeah,
I kind of thought so.
They have red velvet pancakes that are awesome there.
Oh, yeah. They had biscuits and gravy. Yeah, oh,
they got all kind of stuff there.
That was really good. So anyway, on the way back home, since I was driving, I went to Montrose. I went to one of the bars there called TC's. And I got my pass for next week's softball games. Ray, it's softball. It's fall ball season.
Here we go
again. You got to play softball again, Ray. And you're all going to be hearing about
softball.
You don't
have enough time for me now, and now softball's back. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll see. We always make time, right? Okay, let's go to our stories now. Let's go to the gay. Okay. What's your gay, Ray?
Our gay this week is, I'm going to take this one. We got an Arrowverse crossover. Quantico's Russell Tovey cast as gay superhero. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know who Russell Tovey is, he's been in Looking, and he was in the British cast of Being Human, which is where I fell in love with him before he got all muscular and hot and was on Looking and a bunch of other movies. So anyway, where there's a will, there's the Ray. Quantico and Looking vet Russell Tovey has been tapped to play gay superhero the Ray in CW's four-part Arrowverse crossover. TV liners learn. What's more, Tovey will also voice the role of the Ray in the CW Seed's forthcoming animated series, Freedom Fighters, The Ray, which is CW's version of CBS's version of online content. So,
Ray, you're biased with the story because it's Ray.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, The Ray first appeared in 1973. See, I told you I wasn't 49.
You were not born in 73.
The Ray first appeared in 1973 issue of Justice League of America. The animated series Ray will be closer to the version of the character in DC's Multiversity series, which updated the Freedom Fighters to look more like current-day Americans. Freedom Fighters, The Ray, will debut on the CW Digital Channel in 2017.
This year.
So it'll come out. And this year's four-part crossover will air two nights, Monday, November the 27th and Tuesday, November the 28th on the CW. That's the week of Thanksgiving, I think, or the week after Thanksgiving. For this crossover event, Arrow will air on a special Monday night following Supergirl, while the other DC shows will remain in their regularly scheduled time period. So we got a lot coming up on new shows. So take it away with your gay, Maynard, because this is all about you.
Yes, because it is all about the Dick Doc. I've been to the Dick Doc in P-Town. How many years now? 4 or 5 years ago. A lot. To visit. I was just walking around, right? Touring around.
Man, your name's carved on one of the pillars up under there.
Yes. I just walk around there. They don't call my name for nothing.
Piss.
Take a peek under Dick Dock, one of the world's most frequented cruising spots. It is very pretty cruisy. So Provincetown's famed Dick Dock, perhaps you've heard of it, and perhaps you haven't. For those of you who may not know, Dick Dock is a not-so-secret secret spot in P-Town where for decades men have congregated to do manly things under the cloak of darkness.
Piss.
That too. Tantric sex coach Brad Amberhart recently sat down with Davey Wavy to talk about the... Is this a real guy, Davey Wavy?
He's a big YouTube star.
Oh, okay.
He's a little twinkie muscle boy. Hot.
Davey Wavy to talk about the significance of Dick Doc. It's probably, in my opinion, one of the most frequented and sanctioned gay cruising spots in the world. Sanctioned. There's a word I'll explain later. So Amberhart goes on to walk about how gay guys can incorporate magic into their sex when visiting the historic P-Town landmark. For me, what sexual magic means is celebrating erotic ecstasy. Amberhart says, and recognizing that it has the power to heal. Erotic ecstasy has the power to best the world. I don't know about healing. It's just people that are just having sex. So I don't know about that.
Well, sometimes that release, it makes you feel good.
Really?
And, you know.
Okay, so let me tell you about it being sanctioned. Why? Because, public sex is illegal, of course. But then that area there, what they're saying is sanctioned and everything because cops would go there just to check if everything's fine or everything's safe, but they don't do anything. This is what I've heard.
What you heard. They don't do anything.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
But when the other cop's not looking, they whip it out and get a blowjob.
Well, yeah, sure. Maybe they join in. But the point is, it's sanctioned the way saying it's sanctioned.
It's a sanctuary.
But yes. Well,
it's a sanctuary dick dock where you can go and have erotic sex and you're protected from being arrested.
That's the second part. Yeah, because they look away. I think the authorities just look away. I know we know what's happening in there. That's your business. Fine. Just don't hurt anyone. Okay. Yeah. Or if somebody passes out, then they call the ambulance and get somebody there. And then they continue on what they're doing. But they don't arrest people there because, you know, it's going to be bad for business.
Yeah. Since the whole town is pretty much operated on gay funds in the summer.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I guess so. Maybe. Maybe
all
not.
Right.
Okay. We're going to the geek. What are we going to the geek now?
Yeah, we're going to the geek now.
Okay. So.
All you.
Google's miniature home leaks ahead of Pixel event. So, y'all been using Amazon voice services. I'm not going to say the A-L-E-X word, okay? Because it will trigger some people.
Alexa, turn on the vibrator full speed.
I was just saying not to say it. Gosh, it may trigger people's Amazon voice services. You said. Anyway, so Google is reportedly working on a smaller version of its home smart speaker, the Home Mini. So it's a competitor to the Amazon Echo Dot. So, and it appears to have just leaked out ahead of the company's October 4th event via the Droid Life, which discovered the upcoming product. The Home Mini seems like an obvious alternative to Amazon's Echo Dot, serving as a smaller, cheaper version of Google's home smart speaker, much in the same way the Echo Dot does for the full-size Echo. Sure, competition. According to Droid Life, the Home Mini will cost $49 compared to its Home's $129 and come in three colors at launch: charcoal black, chalk gray, and coral.
Coral.
Like the larger Google Home, the Home Mini will also feature Google Assistant and serve as a hub for most smart home functions and information queries, just like its larger sibling. And like the Home Mini also sports a series of LEDs on top that will presumably light up in response to voice commands. According to Droid Life, the Google Home Mini is set to be formally announced at the upcoming Pixel 2 event on October 4th. So we won't have long to wait before we find out the full details on the new device. So what do you think of this, Ray? You're more of a Amazon Echo Dot guy.
That's the one I'm used to, and it does. I don't have it doing that much except cutting my lights on and off, and I'll lay in bed at night and say, tell me a joke or ask some stupid question and just for shit and giggles. But, you know, I hadn't really got it wired into the whole house yet because buying the individual pieces that you need to do that are kind of expensive. So, yeah. But I'm slowly expanding.
Try out the flash briefing. Well, it gives you news. It gives you the day's news, and it gives you like NPR, Reuters, or whatever you have, and technology if you want to. If you want entertainment, they have it too. So it just, yeah. I mean, it's my morning routine. When I shower, I say, you know, A-L-X word, headline news, and then it plays in the bathroom, and then I listen to that while, you know, taking shit and showering, so I'm listening to what's the TMI, latest for the day.
TMI.
That's right. Okay, so yeah. It's interesting that Google is having this now. They're trying to catch up, I guess. You know, voice services is now getting big, and people, either even Amazon Echo competitors using the same technology by Anchor. They have you've heard of Anchor products, right?
Yeah.
They have a similar device. So speaker also, you talk to it in the same way you do at Echo Dots. And yeah, it's interesting.
And the Anchor sits above the dig dock, if I remember correctly.
That's right. And so, you talk to it, that's right, and say the A-L-X word, and then, yeah. Anyway, so let's go to the next story, Ray.
All right, this is my favorite geek, and I've been following this one for some time. Texas Hyperloop project selected as one of the 10 to move forward.
Yes.
Houston, Texas is one of the 10 winning routes selected for potential development for high-speed transportation. The Houston, Laredo, Dallas route, named a winner by the Los Angeles startup company Hyperloop Ones in the Hyperloop One Global Challenge. The challenge sought to identify the strongest routes in the world for development. Check out the Hyperloop page on the Texas route. The company aims to build a system of vacuum-sealed tubes that will create low-pressure system and allow trains or pods to move at high speeds with little resistance from air pressure. If the system is built, it would take less than an hour to travel from Dallas to Houston. Normal travel time between the cities usually takes about 4 hours by car. The 640-mile system would run along I-35 and I-10, connecting all the major cities in the Lone Star State. 10 teams from 5 countries were chosen from among hundreds of applicants, company officials said in a press release, that they will commit meaningful business and engineering resources and work closely with each of the winning team routes to determine their commercial viability. Other winning routes include Chicago, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Cheyenne, Denver, Pueblo, Miami, Orlando, and then in India, how do you say that?
Bengaluru.
Bengaluru and Chennai. Is that how you say it?
Yep.
And then Mumbai and Chennai. In UK, you got Edinburgh, London, and also Glasgow to Liverpool. And then Mexico, you got Mexico City to Guadalajara. And then Canada, you get Toronto to Montreal. So, which everybody's like, well, why aren't they just doing it straight from Houston to Dallas? And I'm like, well, we have that high-speed rail they're trying to get put in, which might fail. So it might eventually connect there. So,
well, it just makes sense that you have them in some kind of a connection.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like legs.
Because on the Hyperloop, the way it proposed, you'd go from Houston to San Antonio and then from San Antonio to Dallas. And it all takes less than an hour.
Yeah.
It'd take like, I think it was 20 minutes to get to San Antonio, and then another 20 minutes by the time you switch over, do whatever needs to get to Dallas. So it's still less than an hour.
Oh, yeah. Anything less than an hour is a lot better than hours.
Yeah. So, and then the leg between, if there's one that actually goes from Dallas to Houston, it would be interesting to see if that happens if this high speed train fails. Because the whole thing about the Hyperloop, it gets built along existing roadways, which the high speed train can't be done. So, so that might be a little bit easier to get this done than the other. Either way, I'm excited. It's the Elon Musk thing.
Yeah. So if it happens, then it'll be easier to travel.
Yeah.
To
and then if they could do from Houston to New Orleans, that would be awesome.
Oh yeah, I'll just park at your place, Ray, and then
catch the Hyperloop and go to New Orleans and be there in an hour.
Yeah. Always good. All right, let's go to the bizarre. Okay, what do you have for me here, Ray? So firefighters spend 3 hours removing weight from gym goers' sensitive part. What kind of sensitive part? I imagine this is a like one of those weights. I haven't read the article yet. So this mishap may give new meaning to the weightlifting clean and jerk. A man working out in a German gym. Oh, it's in Germany. Got a very sensitive part of his body stuck inside a 5.5-pound weight plate on a Friday, according to officials. Oh my God. He used it like a cock ring. Her firefighters spent 3 hours using a grinder and a vibrating saw to free what was widely reported to have been the man's penis from the center of the disc. Why in the world do you want to fuck that?
Well, I think he was putting it on his penis to...
Oh, to weightlift. Oh, good God.
But my question is, how thick is he that... Because those weight plates probably got like an inch and a half. Almost standard size hole in them. So how big was he? I want to see pictures.
He must be really hung. So the Worms fire department shared the above photograph. There's a photograph of the shattered weight to Facebook, allowing the delicate extraction.
Yeah. And you can find the article on our Facebook page and read it and see the picture.
Yeah. So the department also urged other gym goers to not imitate such actions. Not in normal. Maybe in the bathhouse, they have weights there too. Uh-huh. Authorities didn't make clear how the man ended up with the weight wrapped around his manhood. And the incident prompted plenty of speculation on social media. Of course, people would... think about it. They would speculate what happened. Good God, that's so given. Anyway, So okay. Let's go, Ray.
All right. My second bizarre, and I put this in bizarre because it's kind of bizarre that we've talked about this before, and it keeps popping up about this subject. So I want to read this article. It's a little bit longer than normal, but I think it's a good article to read, and then we can discuss it. So, should I include that I am disabled in my dating profile? Hi there. My name's Josh Galassi, and this is my dating profile. And if you look at the article on our Facebook page, he's a really cute guy, you know, 26. He lives in Lima Del Rey. He's 5'7", 135 pounds. He's a bottom. He's single. And his HIV status is negative. As you can see, I'm hilarious. And yes, my Grindr profile picture is the same used in my LinkedIn profiles, assuming. But what you can't see is that I'm very much disabled. To give you a brief Netflix-worthy recap, I was born with cerebral palsy, a disorder of movement, muscle tone, or posture that is caused by damage that occurs to the immature developing brain, most often before birth. In other words, my muscles cannot properly communicate with my brain, leading me to walk like someone who may not have been passed by dementor. Of course, I've been in the dating game long enough to know it's not always cute to lead with, "Hi, my name is Josh and I walk funny," spiel. Instead, I will typically chat with people while before dropping the D, that's disability, is not the D, get your mind out of the gutter. That said, I've discovered having to come out as a disabled to every guy I'm vibing with is exhausting, simply because you never know how someone will react, especially after you've invested so much time in getting to know them. In fact, it has reached the point where I literally have a note saved in my phone that I copy and paste every time I'm about to tell someone about my disability. Original, I know, but here it is. If we meet, I should probably tell you something. I explain to everyone I meet, but I have a physical disability. It's not a huge deal and never has been a huge issue with previous boyfriends. I just walk a little funny like a drunk person would. Hopefully that's not a deal breaker for us meeting, but yeah, if you even Google my name, it'll probably be one of the first things that'll pop up. LOL. Wow, narcissistic much with that last sentence. Moving on. For a long time, I was very happy with sending this pre-written confession, and guys were almost always very receptive to it. No, of course not. That doesn't bother me at all. You shouldn't bother anyone. But anyway, don't worry about it, responded one guy who I'd saved on my phone as Liam from Canada. Not a deal breaker at all. For a community of outcasts, we can all be pretty brutal to each other, remarked another man appropriately saved as Mark from Seattle, sensing a trend. It wasn't until an in-person meeting with someone who had somewhat different response to my copy and paste note that my entire world was shook. We enjoyed drinks with the topic of my disability come up. Why did you feel the need to give that whole thing about your disability? He questioned. What do you mean? I shot back, clearly not computing what was happening, which was probably due to the alcohol. You know, that whole speech, I just thought it was so silly, he said. Why do you feel you need to explain your disability to anyone before meeting them? At first, I did not know how to answer because I've never actually thought about it. Why did I feel the need to explain my disability? So like any smart person would, I responded with a lingering, I thought about the answer. I suppose I thought it was the respectful thing to do. I would never want someone to think I was catfishing them or hiding something. Mm-hmm. I finally asked, I said, I guess it's my disability is something of an insecurity. Well, I don't think it was necessary, and I don't think people care as much as you think they do, he retorted. People will like you for who you are, and if they don't, well, bye. Since that conversation, I've thought a lot about how I approach and talk about my disability while dating online. It's difficult because I feel like either way that word disabled is so loaded. The moment people see it, I fear they already have this image of what it looks like in their head. It would be great if we lived in the world where it didn't even have to tell people about it. All of that to say, while I don't think I'll ever not tell people about my disability in advance, I do wonder if there's another way I could get people to know. Perhaps at time I just put disabled in big bold letters in my profile. Perhaps I start leading with, hi, my name is Josh and I walk funny. Or maybe I lead with nothing at all and write a new note entirely. So Maynard, do you think dating someone with disability is an issue? Well, let's say you meet somebody online and they start chatting with you. Mm-hmm. Do you think you need to know that they're disabled?
No, not at all. I don't think so. And it's nothing wrong with being friends or chatting with someone. So I got two stories that I could probably relate. That's how I could relate with this. There was this guy in Dallas. I went met him, you know, talk. Sometimes talked about the TBRU. He was, you know, disabled. He walks funny, you know, and he has a like a speech impediment or something. I was trying to say hi. I want him to feel good, you know, among, you know, there are bears around and everything, but there's this really skinny guy who walks funny, and then he just didn't want to talk to me. Maybe he was thinking I was onto him. No, I was just being friendly because, you know, we're here at the bear run and we're just saying hi. And he just walked away. I mean, whenever I see him, I try to say hi, he's just really ignoring me. And then, well, that's a problem. I don't have any problem with it, but I guess they have a problem with it for themselves.
And, well, it is TBRU. So people that you normally talk to online completely ignore you when you're at TBRU and they're standing right in front of you.
Yeah, that's
so true. Because there's other bigger fish to catch in the pond at TBRU.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So that could have been it. Or maybe he's just overwhelmed.
Maybe, of the attention.
Yeah.
So the other story I'm going to tell you about, this is the one I told you pre-show, was the friend, Mike's former friend. That's a friend of ours. This was in New Orleans, and he was chatting with this bear. He was saying, you know, hey, let's meet up at the next month. I'll book a flight, because they've been chatting for months. They've known each other. They really, really enjoy each other. Even talked on the phone, and then 3 days before, the flight, I had something to tell you. By the way, I need to tell you that I'm disabled. And then, what do you mean? What kind of disabled? Like you're in a cane? No, I'm on a scooter. So, well, for some people, like friend of ours, it was bothersome for him. Also, New Orleans is not a very disabled person friendly.
True.
You cannot. It's really hard to, yeah, to walk around Bourbon Street or even one of the bars there, or in the Phoenix upstairs. You get, yeah, if you're having a cane, or much less you have a scooter, and yeah, I'll just ride around the scooter. It should be no problem. No, it is a problem because it's a party town.
It's not as much as a party town. The French Quarter is an old section of town. And is not built to be handicap accessible. The bars don't have the ramps and all the other stuff that was required of new buildings.
Yeah.
So if you're in a wheelchair, yes, you can roll up and down Bourbon Street. And if you go to a modern hotel, you can get in and get out and you're okay. But I think going there and expecting you're going to be able to get into bars and all this other kind of stuff, you're kind of wrong on that.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe he had expectation that it was like any other city. Well, they had redone all the sidewalks so they were handicap accessible and had the ramps and all that stuff. And New Orleans is not like that.
Yeah.
So or at least the old part of New York, the French Quarter.
I understand.
It's a lot like that.
But to the friend who is not disabled, who was just hearing this for the first time, it was really, it really affected them. So there are people who get affected by this. So it goes back to your question, Ray. Is it important to tell a person?
Well, I think here's the deal. If I'm meeting somebody and I'm going to fly out of their town to meet them and I haven't told them until 3 days too, I think that's a little late. Because that sounds like you're hiding something.
Yeah.
Because if he'd have told me ahead of time, if I'd have been in that case at that time, I'd say, look, New Orleans is a great place. But you're going to have a hard time getting around. If you can't get out of your scooter and walk around a little bit, you're not going to be able to get into a lot of places in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Just because the French Quarter is old city, it doesn't have all the accessibility that the newer section does. I mean, now the tourist stuff, yeah, you have ramps and stuff you can get to, but most of the bars, no.
Yeah.
So, but luckily you can buy alcohol on the street in New Orleans. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can work something out, but you need to be willing to understand that you might not get to have this New Orleans experience that you think you're going to have.
Yeah.
So.
Well, second is New Orleans is not the only city in town and in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of
you can go like somewhere
that,
else.
Like there's all sections of cities that people still have a problem getting in and out around and everything. But I think if it's something like that, you're traveling and it's something that's that critical that, hey, I'm have to be in a scooter, especially in cities that you have to walk a lot in.
Yeah.
That should have been brought up sooner.
So it is important.
It's a logistical thing.
Oh, wait. If you're chatting, it's okay not to?
Well, Well, I mean, if they were got talking when he first started talking about coming to visit, he should have said, "Look, before I do this, I need to let you know, I'm handicapped and I'm gonna have to use a scooter to get around."
Yeah.
And then my question was, be like, do you have to stay in the scooter 24/7? Can you get around and have some mobility so you can like leave the scooter and come in and go to the bar and stand at a bar and have a drink or you know, discuss it so their expectations of what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So
it's all communication. You have to talk about it. And you don't trust the person enough. Yeah. You don't so if you are going to meet like this guy in the end of the article, if you are going to meet with someone, you should at least disclose that, I guess. Yeah. But that's not your, but that should not define you.
Yeah.
It should not define you. Like what happened to this guy in the article. Yeah. It defined him. The first thing, hey, hi, it's good to meet you. By the way, I'm disabled. I mean, that's the first thing you say.
Yeah.
You gotta, you're supposed to have something else to say. Like, you know, I like movies or I like walks in the park, but no, the first thing you say is that you're disabled.
But I chatted with a guy that was out of state one time, and he would send me pictures, but I'd only get from the chest up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, he's either really overweight and upset about his appearance, or he's hiding something. You know, and after talking for a couple of weeks, I said, so what's the deal with all the chest pics and above? And I want there, you know, because people send full standing shots and stuff like that. He's like, well, I need to tell you something. I have MS and I'm confined to a wheelchair and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. I said, that's fine about that. But he was looking for somebody to date.
Okay.
And for me, somebody that was totally disabled like that, that needed somebody to constantly take care of them, I wasn't ready for that at that point.
Yeah.
So that's a different thing too. So it's like, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
So
somebody to take care of me.
Yeah, take care. Yeah. Well, it wasn't somebody. I mean, he had somebody to help take care of him. But when you're dating somebody, you have to take on some of that role if you're spending time with each other.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes you don't, like, if you're sleeping over, do you want somebody else coming in there and helping you get in the bed and all that stuff? And
yeah,
so it's like almost like a threesome logistical thing. So
yeah,
you know. But I think the best thing, I've always been up for front with stuff. And if people don't like you because of that, then you don't need them in your life.
Yeah.
If they have a major problem with it, you don't need them in your life. So yeah,
that's true. All right. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? That's an interesting topic.
What experiences have y'all had with people that have disabilities, and have you worked to overcome them, or did it cause major issues?
Or if you're listening to this and you are disabled, what do you say? What do you say to your
when you're talking
potential
to people?
Oh, yeah, potential date, or if you're talking to people. Yeah, let us know. All right, so before we go, special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook, facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. And if you want to contact us, you can email us at show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.